Good morning. I know I'm not as good looking as Mike, but we sure miss Mike and Missy this morning and miss the whole Ellis clan because it looks like we don't have very many here this morning. I guess we didn't get the memo that it's vacation time, but it's good to be with you, good to be able to speak to you this morning. And before we get started, I ask you to pray for our kids this week for camp. Like I say, hopefully it's not going to be as hot. We're going to hope for that and pray that everybody has a good time and be filled with filled with good knowledge and come back more filled with God's Word. So this morning's lesson will be coming out of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at just one verse this morning. And I entitled the lesson this morning is, Are We Going the Extra Mile? Are we going the extra mile? In this lesson, we will see that there is much more we could be doing to serve the Lord. And we know that we will, and also we're going to learn that we're going to see the importance of going the extra mile. You know, so many times we get to thinking that we have done enough for the sake of Christ. Sometimes we get that way. The thing is that our work is never done. Our work is never done. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41 there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. And this was the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible reads, Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You know, so many times, you know, this is the attitude that we must have as a Christian. This is the attitude that we must have as a Christian. We should never be satisfied or even settle for mediocrity. Jesus was always going the extra mile, and he knew his work was never done. You know, this may be a short verse this morning that we're dealing with, but it has meaning. You know, Jesus did get tired, but he was always about his Father's business. He was always about his Father's business. Jesus was seen with tax collectors. And we know in Matthew chapter 9, in verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, Follow me. And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And then verse 13, But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, Matthew, he made the choice to follow Jesus. He dropped what he was doing. How good are we at doing that when we need to? Tax collectors were viewed as cheats. You know, they were mentioned right there with sinners. Jesus saw a need to teach to all, and the Pharisees, you know, they just wanted to stir up trouble. They was always trying to stir up trouble. And we need to see each person as a soul, just as Jesus did. Jesus is the great physician. He is the great physician in every aspect of life, whether it be a physical, emotional, spiritual, every emotion that we have. He shares it with us. Jesus knew sorrow, the loss of a loved one. He wept over Lazarus, the brother of Mary. In John chapter 11, verses 32 through 35. John chapter 11, verses 32 through 35. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 13, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, Jesus wept. You know, Mary, we see that Mary blamed Jesus back there in verse 32. Said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary and Martha must have forgotten what Jesus could do and his power. You know, he told him earlier in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Jesus reminds them in verse 40. Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I see a little bit of doubt going on here. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. He wept for him, and he was able to bring him back to life. So many times we have our own doubts that God is not with us, or he has no idea what we are going through. Jesus showed, you know, we must know that we are never alone. We are never alone. Jesus showed compassion for others. He showed compassion for others. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And this was dealing with the Jesus feeding the 5,000. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. You know, the disciples were not understanding what needed to happen here. They wanted them to go elsewhere and buy the food. You know, Jesus was teaching them to serve. He was teaching them to serve. And also in Mark chapter 6 and verse 37, Mark 6 there in verse 37, but he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? Well, they was given 5 loaves and 2 fish there. You know, and they already had enough on hand. They had it on hand. It's hard for us to fathom Jesus feeding this many, and that doesn't, which doesn't sound like a lot of food. But the big picture is that God provides for his people. God provides for his people. So many times we are like the disciples and give excuses of why we don't do more than we should. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. God provided for Moses and his people. And we all know that they still complained it was never enough. Many times we are ungrateful for the things that we do have. We should thank God for that he provides for each and every one of us. It's the human thing to do is to want more. It's the human thing that we do is wanting more. One thing we must learn is to be content. We must be content. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The Bible reads, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Paul learned to be content. Paul learned to be content. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And we have to remember that Paul was in prison here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is what trusting God is all about. When we go that extra mile, God is with us all the way. Have we learned to be content like Paul? You know, he knew what it was like to have an abundance and to not have anything at all. He trusted that God would provide. We tend to worry a lot. Many times we look ahead too much when we should live in the moment. Sometimes we procrastinate and put things off that should be done at that time. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. The Bible reads, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, we are preparing the future of the church now. You know, if we know to do right and don't do it, it is sin. That sounds a bit harsh, but it should make us want to do more spreading of the good news. It should make us want to do that. There are some who think that they may not know enough. That's why we study the scriptures, so we can help others to go to heaven. That's what we are striving for, going the extra mile. How well do we pay attention to those around us? Do we see needs that need to be met? If you are a Christian, you are a worker for the Lord. If you are a Christian, you are a worker for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 through 38, Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, the Bible reads, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The church needs workers. Door knocking, you know, there's door knocking that can be done. There's checking on the sick. There's visiting those who miss services or sending a text even. We have so many ways of getting to people these days, and we need to use those things that we have. Or maybe even a phone call. You know, there are so many ways to serve. It's something we must do. Each of us have talents. Each of us have talents, and whether it be encouraging, serving food at funerals, or other things that the needs that we see, we need to see that they're being done. We must put our talents to use and not leave them on the shelf. We are all part of the one body, the church. We must function as one body and encourage those who want to be of service to see what you could do to help the congregation grow in number and maybe even spiritually. Many times we have those who want to serve but is afraid to ask what they need to do. We need to seek out those who may be that person who wants to do more. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible reads, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." We each have our cross to bear. Sometimes it gets heavy. We must look to each other for help through those bumps in the road. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." Verse 2 there, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We all need help from time to time. We must be approachable to those who come to us for help. It's all part of going the extra mile. Each of us have burdens that we bear, and some burdens are heavier than others. We are all striving to get to heaven. And that is our goal. That is our main goal, is to get to heaven. When we are baptized, our journey is just getting started. Our journey is just getting started. Something we think about, you know, some think that all you have to do is be baptized and you will go to heaven. And that's not true. We all, when we are baptized, we become servants of God. We become servants. There is more to being baptized. That's not where it stops. That's just where it starts. We are servants of God, until death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. The last part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 there. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We must remain faithful, and that involves our Christian duties. We need to have the attitude of Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was confident where he was going. He knew there was something better that awaited him. He knew we would suffer hardships, but he knew that we move forward. We move forward. It is our duty to prepare our young because they are the future of the church. We know the church has taken a decline in the years past, but the church here in Crawford has stayed pretty steady in numbers. I know other churches of Christ who have shut their doors because their attendance are down to zero. Bigger congregations who have had as many as 600 to even 1,000 are down to half that, even if that. We must go the extra mile to do what we can do to help the congregation grow in number and grow spiritually. I've heard it said before, if we aren't growing, we are dying. You know, it's true, and it's true that we have to be busy Christians. We have a duty to do. The choice is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a child of God and you've struggled in your daily walk with Christ, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.